but to start things off, guy who's kind of become the leadoff man, if you will, for this program.
I get on base a lot.
You do get on base.
Gotta give me that leadoff spot.
You get on base a lot, Matt Dillon. St. Edmund Gales, and I tell you, off to a tremendous start, 2-0 after a win last night, 30-8 over Clare and Goldfield Dows. Drew Schaefer sets a passing record with 339 yards. Talking about the pregame interview, and off the air, you told me that you saw that you thought they were going to play press man coverage in the secondary, and I told you right then, I said, that's a bad deal for them. That's going to open some stuff up for you, and sure enough, you took advantage of it.
Well, listen, Drew was amazing last night, first half-wise. I mean, I've been in this business a long time, and I think I've only had one other quarterback in all this time, close to 40 years now, where I've had a quarterback that throws the deep ball as well as Drew throws it. I mean, and the beauty of it is we got guys that can go get it. So,
true.
You know, sometimes you got a quarterback that can throw the deep ball, but you don't have the guys that can go get it. We've got three or four of those guys that can absolutely run and fly and catch the ball at the end and finish the play. You know, guys like Case Baker, who's been outstanding these first two games. Parker Oswald, who I think is one of the top receivers in the area. I think so. Yeah, so, I mean, listen, those guys can get it, can go get it. Sean Flattery had a really nice game as well, had a couple catches. Tyler Rosmaneth out of the backfield had a catch. And Quentin McCarville, our tight end, didn't have his best game, and I think he'd probably tell you that, but he also had a catch as well. So, I mean, we got a lot of weapons, a lot of places to spread the ball around. And on top of that, the main thrust of our offense is going to be the run game, you know.
And true.
So when you're able to establish the run game, then that's when you're able to get the big plays over the top, because they got to commit so many people to stop the run.
Sure.
And, you know, we were able to do that last night. They committed a lot of guys, sometimes eight, sometimes nine guys, trying to stop the run. And that's when we went up top, and Drew found the guys that were open and made great throws, and they made plays at the catch point and making guys miss and finishing off those plays. Just an outstanding job from all of those guys.
You know, I think what's maybe lost in this that I find amazing is the fact that he set the single game school passing record with 339 yards and did it pretty much in the first half of the ball game.
Yeah, and Rob, that's 339 yards on eight completions.
Oh, big play.
That's averaging over 40 yards of completion on those eight completions.
On his touchdown passes, 73, 75, and 84.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. So, obviously he had a great game, and we got out to the big lead. It was 27-0. Clarion scored late in the first half, I think, in the last 30 seconds. So, our thing was let's get into halftime. We're not going to try and press it after they scored. And then at halftime, the message was, we got to put our thumb on them. You know, when you got somebody down, you've got to be able to put your thumb on them and put them away. To become a great team, you have to learn how to do that. And last night was a great example of that. You know, we only scored three points in the second half, but it wasn't really about scoring points. It was about stopping them and then being able to burn clock. And that's where the running game came into effect. And our guys did a great job with that in the second half. It wasn't like we didn't have opportunities. We had two touchdowns called back in the third quarter. We got down inside the 10 in the fourth quarter, got stopped, and we tried a field goal and unfortunately missed it. But, you know, we moved the ball. We burned the clock and kept their offense off the field in the second half. And that's what we needed to do to be able to finish that game off. So great job by both offense and defense. Our defense played lights out in the second half. I think we gave up a total of like 10 yards in the second half. So
I think at this point, with the way you're executing offensively, It's almost like pick your poison against your offense right now.
Well, that's the way I look at it, too. You know, I mean, we're going to find out what people are trying to take away, and then we're going to go to the other thing and create some big plays. You know, now if they drop people out of the box and they're forced to try to play pass, we're going to run the ball right down their throat. So, and we have the people that can do that. So you're right. It is a definite pick your poison. I would not want to have to try to defend our offense right now. It would be extremely difficult.
Luckily, you don't have to.
Exactly. So we'll let all those other people worry about it.
Right now, you're the only guy stopping your offense. Feel something otherwise changes. Now, you know, we know about your playmakers. You know, we know about Case Baker. We know about Flattery. We know about Oswald. Anthony Lucina, a little bit of a wild card and an unknown who now – everybody's hearing that name.
Well, listen, Anthony made the decision to play football this year, his senior year. It's the first time he's played since middle school.
Okay.
So I knew it was going to take a little time for him to get accustomed to what's going on, but he's a tremendous athlete. He's fast, obviously. He's got great hands. I saw him running around on the basketball court, and I said, man, this kid could be a heck of a receiver, heck of a football player. And he's starting for us, you know, at cornerback, and making great plays out there. And then obviously, he's working in time at receiver. We go to what we call our cheetah package. Our cheetah package is all our fast guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or some people call it the NASCAR package.
Yeah. So we get all those fast guys on the field and say, okay, now pick the one that you don't want to defend, because you got to defend all four of them, you know, and
try to find a matchup that's favorable at that point.
Exactly.
You're going to have one with as many weapons as you guys have. Now, you get up 27-0 in the first half. Did you feel like in the second half, you're going to win 30-8, did you feel like maybe a little, I don't know a better term than maybe a little mental letdown? Sometimes it's hard to...
No, I really don't think we had that. We challenged our kids at the half, and it was the thing that I talked about, being able to put your thumb on somebody and put them away. And it didn't necessarily mean having to score points, but it definitely meant taking time off that clock.
And keeping control of the game.
Exactly. And our defense stepped up. I think we maybe only gave up one first down in the second half and a lot of three and outs. And, you know, when you got that going on, now you got a chance to run the football and burn clock. You know, we're no huddle right now. So
right.
I'm telling Drew, let's just pull the reins back a little bit on trying to get the ball snapped.
Well, let the play clock run
exactly.
A little bit.
Exactly.
Which is hard to do when all week long you're saying, go, go, go.
That's right.
You know,
that's what you call your four-minute offense. You know, when you get down to that four-minute mark on the clock, you're either trying to burn the clock or you're trying to, you know,
to run.
We started our four-minute offense when the fourth quarter started. So, I mean, realistically, the biggest thing, we just didn't want to give them opportunities to score.
Yeah.
And just take them out of any opportunity to come back.
Well, you know, one of the things, Coach Matt Dillon, my guest here on the High V Fort Knox Coaches Corner, you know, one of the things I find interesting is, you know, there's a lot of talk about your offense, and deservingly so. You guys have put up, you know, 91 points in 2 weeks and, you know, are seemingly breaking records every time you turn around, but your defense is playing well. I mean, 24 points in 2 games, got to like that.
You know, and you asked about it in the pregame show on Friday, is how is the defense in terms of responding and all that kind of stuff, you know, because the first week we didn't tackle well,
right.
At least in the first half. Second half, they were lights out. Kind of the same thing last night, you know. Clarion moved the ball, but when they got in the red zone, except for that one opportunity where they scored late in the half, they struggled once they got in the red zone, and I attribute that to our defense. They stepped up, made plays, caused them to either turn it over or turn it over on downs or get a sack and force a punt, whatever it was. And that was critical. But the second half, man, they came out and just dominated them and just took everything they tried away. You know, I think they completed 4 out of 14 throws.
Yep, that's what I have.
Sean had a unbelievable, and I'm playing from the linebacker position. He's in press man on a receiver in the slot, and they tried to throw a fade, a deep seam route to this guy, and Sean picks it off 40 yards down the field. Not too many linebackers.
Well, that's the luxury of having a running back playing linebacker.
Exactly. And then they tried the same play the next time, and Sean makes the same play but dropped it. You know, he's right there to make it. So, you know, when you got guys that can do that, that tells you everything you need to know as far as where that defense is coming.
Well, and you know, football kind of boils down to two things, and they say, and that's X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's. And right now, you've got the Jimmy's and Joe's, and the X's and O's are rolling too. So you got kind of both parts of that formula.
We do. And our Jimmy's and Joe's are pretty good. So, you know, especially athletically, you know, Brock Stonick, who I think is one of the top linemen in this.
Yep, and gaining a lot of buzz week by week.
Listen, he had a great night last night. We talked about it all week in practice. They're number 66. I watched him last week against Hampton, and he's an inside defensive tackle, and he's lined up over Brock the entire game. And I don't think he made a play. I didn't see him in on a tackle until late in the fourth quarter, and that's a testament to Brock because that guy is a quality defensive lineman, and Brock just kind of took him out of what he's used to doing.
Well, you know, you talked about at a pregame show about your focus was on neutralizing 66, and to be able to do that, you know, there's a lot of ways you can go about trying to do that, but to be able to do that with one guy and not have to commit extra blocks to that, that right there keeps you in a position where everything else is still open on the table.
No question. And you know, and the other guys on the line are coming along. I mean, Andrew Elbert at center had a pretty good night last night. Nathan Russell, although unfortunately, you know, he had the holding penalties on the two touchdowns that got called back. But I thought he played well last night. Our two tackles, Tyler McDowell is a sophomore, is coming along. Our right tackle, Peyton Scott, who's a three-year starter as a senior. Great baseball pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, and now he's really coming into his own as far as being an offensive tackle. He's not the biggest kid in the world. You know, every team we line up against probably going to be bigger than we are.
Well, when you told me Peyton Scott was playing tackle for you, I'd seen him in baseball and I thought he's playing tackle because I know his body build is not an offensive line build.
He's 6'1" and he's probably maybe 180 pounds.
Yeah.
You know. And that Andrew's 5'7" and 185, you know, our center. And, you know, when you stand Brock up next to all our other linemen, he just dwarfs them, you know, but I mean, it's who we are. And a lot of times in Class A, that's what it is. You know, those guys that are that size, you know, they can play line because they're not going to get overwhelmed by somebody on the other side very often.
True.
You know, and
there's a lot you can do to negate the size too. And
we try to give our guys angles on just about every play. You know, the wing T offense is famous for that. You know, you're going to block down, you're going to kick out, or you're going to reach and do whatever it is you need to do. And our guys, the offensive line is coming along. They're starting to click together.
Yeah. Wing T also is kind of similar to the beer in the theory that the offensive lineman can be smaller, you know, in that. And an advantage that you have with smaller linemen is you got guys who can move around. So you can get into that second level and block down the field and spring a big play.
You know, and that's it. Because you look at, I mean, the offensive line that Clarion put on the field last night was huge. They dwarfed our guys. I mean, you know, 250. I think they had a 285 in there.
A lot of size for Class
230. And you know, we don't have those guys. And their roster was huge. They had over 50 guys on the roster. Congratulations to Coach Morrison because he's getting kids out. It's going to make a difference down the road right now. I know it's a struggle for him, especially offensively in terms of putting points on the board. But you know what? They're going to get there. Coach Morrison is too good a coach. You know, I first met him when I was the head coach at Cornell College over in Eastern Iowa. He was an assistant at Wartburg. When the Wartburg staff went to Grand Valley State in Michigan, the Division II school, the powerhouse, you know, he went with them there. I think he was at Grand Valley for like 10 years as the O-line guy. So he's going to get that O-line working, no question about it, because that's his specialty. That's what he's going to challenge those guys to become better. And, you know, I'm glad we got them early and not week seven or eight. You know, because I think they're gonna come because they've got some skill kids too now, and it's just a matter of them getting involved in understanding coach's system and what he wants.
Matt Dillon is my guest, head coach of the St. Edmund Gale football program. Gales improved to 2-0, 30-8 win last night over Cleary and Goldfield Dalles.